It's always good to be able to speak and be here and with you. And I want to invite you to Ezekiel chapter 33. If you have your Bibles, let's turn together. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel, a prophet of the Lord in Babylon, in captivity with the people that have been taken to Babylon. And God speaks to him several times. In fact, this message he actually gave to him in the third chapter as well. But he repeats it again in the 33rd chapter, and we're going to look at it in the 33rd chapter, what the Lord says to Ezekiel. And I'm beginning to read with verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land, choose one of their men and make him their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, then his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Let's pray for a moment. Lord in heaven, this is your word. Give us wisdom and understanding as we think upon it together. May your spirit be upon everything that's said and everything that's done this morning. And Lord, we just lay it all in your hands. Speak to our hearts. Lead us to the truth. And Father, may we not be forgetful hearers, but may we be doers then of your word. And may we take whatever you say to us this morning and put it into practice. We pray it in your name. Amen. The text is fairly simple to understand, isn't it? You can picture, if you would, a walled city. And the people going about their everyday business and stuff, and their watchmen that are placed on the different points of the wall, and their task is to watch and see if the enemy's coming. And when they see danger, they're supposed to sound the trumpet sound or sound the alarm, and when the people hear it, they know it's coming, and they can get ready and get prepared to take on whatever it is that's coming. And that's kind of the scene here, and that's the setting that God gives to Ezekiel. And that is that if that trumpeter on the wall, if he sounds the trump, sees the danger, sounds the horn, and the people that are down below hear it, don't do anything about it if they just go about their business as usual and don't pay any attention to the horn, well, the enemy will come and it'll break through and they'll be destroyed by the fire, by the sword, but it won't be the watchman's fault. He sounded the trumpet. They didn't listen. So you can't blame the watchman. So they'll die because they didn't listen, but it won't be his fault. It'll be their own fault, right? Amen? But there's another scenario there. What if the watchman on the wall sees it coming? Or maybe he doesn't see it. Maybe he's fallen asleep on his watch. And for whatever reason, he doesn't sound the warning. Well, now the people don't know to prepare, and they'll die. But it'll be the watchman's fault. Isn't that right? Now, that's exactly what God is saying here to Ezekiel when he said, Ezekiel, I'm appointing you as a watchman over the children of Israel. You're that watchman on the wall. When I speak out and say that you're going to die in your sins, and you don't warn them, they'll die in their sins, but it'll be their blood's on your hand. Now, if you sound the warning and they don't listen to you, they don't repent, they don't turn, they'll die in their sins, but it won't be your fault. You've delivered yourself, and you've delivered your soul. Strong message. I think it's easy for us to grasp, isn't it? Easy to grasp. Let's take it a little step further. You and I live in a culture that's a self-oriented culture, steeped in their sins, and God has said that if you don't repent, you're going to die. It's a culture that's rejected God and turned from God, and God has said in the scriptures that Paul says in Romans 1 that the wrath of God is being poured out. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. And you and I know that if they don't repent, they're going to die in their sins. And I want to suggest to you this something this morning, that as those who have come to know Jesus Christ, we are the watchmen on the walls for our communities and for our culture and our nation, and not just them, but in the whole world. We know. We understand. We know the wrath of God, and if we don't warn them and they die in their sins, their blood is on us. Now, we may warn them and they may not listen, and they may still die in their sins, but we have at least saved ourselves. Now, I don't know what it would mean to have their blood on our hands, but that sounds pretty bad to me. Doesn't it to you? I don't know what all that might entail from God's point of view, but it sounds really tough. You know, I people will say many times, we've been talking in Bible study even a little bit the one day about the fact that every nation in the world at one time has had a knowledge of God. We're all descendants, and if you look around at the folklore, the myths, the stories around the fire, even in Amazon jungle villages and stuff, you'll always find a story of the flood. There's always a story of the flood. And in the flood, the whole world's destroyed, and one family, one couple, it varies a little bit, is saved. And the human race comes out of that, which reminds us that they've all had a knowledge of the flood. And if they've had a knowledge of the flood, we're all descendants of Noah. They've also known the new true God. And they've rejected it. It may have been thousands of years ago. And then, of course, Paul in Romans 1 says, but even the world around us, even nature itself tells us God's there, so that we're without excuse. And when you add all that together, they're without excuse. And they stand condemned under the judgment of God. Some have asked, well, what about ones who have never then heard about Jesus Christ? Well, here's the crux. If they've never heard about Jesus Christ, guess whose fault that is? Because the last thing he told us was to take the gospel into the whole world. If they haven't heard, it's because we've sat on our rear ends in our churches and haven't taken the gospel. And if they die without a knowledge of Christ, their blood may be on us. That was our commission. That's what we were told to do. It's the responsibility of the church. It's the responsibility of believers to sound the warning, to tell people you don't have to die in your sins, to go to the world, to go to our communities, to go to our nation and tell them there's a Savior. And if you'll repent of your sins, He saves to the uttermost. We are the watchmen on the wall. Are we sounding the warning to our culture? And are they hearing it? Now, they may not respond. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to make sure they hear it in a way they can understand it. It wasn't the watchman's responsibility how they responded, but he better blow the trumpet. And he better blow the right trumpet sound. You know, some of you have been in the military or other things know that different bugle calls mean different things. So you better sound the right one. Thinking of our culture steeped in its self-centeredness and its the self-nature, the sin nature, which is always oriented out of ourselves. You can be like God. You'll be able to say that. That's that self-orientation. And that's where our culture is. No wonder we call it our generations the me generations. But it's not just these generations. The me generation goes back to the baby boomers and the two generations ahead of them as well. Because those were the real me generations, and the young ones have just kind of inherited it. All about us. And I got to tell you something. You can't go to a generation that's steeped in itself with the message that God loves you. That won't lead them to repentance. That'll just make them self-satisfied. Well, fine. I'm living out of myself, doing what I want. It's good to know that God loves me. Now I don't have to worry about that, and I'll just keep on living for myself. And I realize that that wasn't the message of Jesus. Do you realize in the Gospels, in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus never mentions love a single time? That was never anything he preached. And in John's Gospel, there's only two times, and that was in the privacy with just a few people. The first time was with Nicodemus, when we have "For God so loved the world," and then later in private with his disciples when he's talking about, "If you obey me, my love will abide on you." That was never his message to people. His message was very simple. It was the same one John the Baptist preached. It said Jesus went everywhere preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then later on, it kind of changed a little bit to, "Repent, or you too will perish." Because our nation needs to be called in our communities and our culture to repent and turn from their selfness and bow before the living God. And that's got to be our message. And we've got to be warning that there is a Savior. And you've got to repent and turn to Him. And He will save you and He will forgive you. We are the watchmen on the wall. We see the danger coming. We know the penalty for sin. We don't like to talk about hell, but we know it's there. And we know that's what will happen to everyone who dies in their sins. And as watchmen on the wall, we've got to warn them. We've got to talk to them. We've got to plead with them. And we've got to get serious about it. You know, it was interesting that when I found out I had cancer back in December, the number of people that came in our church that came to me and said, "You know, I had that cancer too." And my doctor was able and said, who's your doctor? And I tell them, I had the best one in Ohio, actually, for this. And they would say, yeah, that's the one I had. And you know, I haven't had any problem. I've been cured of it and everything. It's good you had that. And you'd be surprised the number of people came and told me that. And that was encouraging. If you had cancer and you were healed from it, and you know somebody else that's got the same one, you would beat your way to their door to say, hey, you don't have to die. I have a doctor, and he can cure you. I have a doctor, and if you'll go see him, he can take care of this for you. And I'm thankful. It's when I did go to that doctor, he did cure it. It is gone. Let me say something to you this morning. Everyone that has been cured from the cancer of sin is duty-bound to tell other people about them. We're duty-bound to go to those that are lost and say, you don't have to die in your sins. I have a doctor. And he can cure you. And he can make you well. We're duty-bound to tell other people about it. We're the watchmen on the walls. And we have to speak to them. Some years ago, it's been quite a few years ago now, actually. I was back when I was a kid, or a teen, college age, somewhere in there. I remember hearing Bob Harrington, who was known as the chaplain of Bourbon Street back then. He later fell into some ill repute, but at that time, he was going strong, and he told his story one night. He was there in New Orleans is where he pastored, and in New Orleans, I guess, there is that longest continual bridge that goes across the water, I think, in the world, and it's like 22 miles long. Goes out to an island, and out in that island, on that island there, are a few things out there, but one of the things that was out there was a mental hospital for mental patients. And that was back when you had the state hospitals and mental institutions like that. And he'd been out there ministering a bit all that day. And it was nighttime, and he's driving back across the bridge, he said. And as he was driving, he was kind of sleepy. He'd had a long day of ministering. He was tired. He was worn out. And he's driving back across this bridge. And you know what it's like when you're driving at night and it's dark and the headlights and the lights and what it can do in your mind, and especially when there's nothing but water on both sides of you in the dark. And he's driving and he's thinking, and all of a sudden he saw a man on the bridge. And the man was all disheveled, and his hair was hanging down, and he was a mess. He looked like he was soaking wet. And there he is on the bridge, and he's yelling something at the top of his, just yelling and yelling and frantically running back and forth. And he said he's driving along, and his first thought was, this is someone that's gotten loose from the state hospital, and he's out here, and if I stop my car, who knows what he'll do or what I'm going to experience. So he tried to move over out of his way, and he said when he moved over to the next lane, the man jumped over to that lane in front of him. And every time he tried to maneuver, the man just kept jumping where he was in front of his car and he was just kept yelling and yelling, and he was yelling, stop. He rolled his window down. He finally heard he was yelling, stop. So he finally stopped his car and got out and went over, and they said the man didn't stop. He just kept screaming, stop, stop, stop. And he said, I grabbed a hold of him and I shook him and I said, I'm stopped, I'm stopped. What's the matter? And he told him, he said, there's a span out in the bridge. And he said, there's already a bus and about six cars that have gone down into the bay. And he said, I managed to roll out, and I climbed back up onto the top. And he was soaking wet from where he had gotten into the water, and he climbed back. And he said, I jumped up, and I've been trying to stop you. And Bob Harrington said, I hugged that man. And I hugged that man. And he said, I took off my coat. And he said, I spent the rest of the night running down the bridge and stopping cars. And he said, I got home that night and I told my wife, when I finally got home, he said, I said, thank God that man cared. I said, or I would have been in the bay. And he got up on the bridge and he screamed as loud as he could. And I'm home tonight because of him. Listen, brethren, we're in a world that's headed to hell. We got to jump on the bridge. And we got to scream, stop. 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 Or they're going to perish. That's our call. That's our task. To get on the bridge and yell, listen, don't die in your sins. We have a doctor. We have one who can cure you. Stop. Stop. Or you'll perish without Jesus. Will they all listen? No. Probably not. But some will. Some will. And not only will some listen, but we will have been faithful watchmen, and we will have sounded the cry, and we will have sounded the trumpet. And we will have saved our own souls too, because we were faithful in what he's called us to do. Are you being faithful in warning those who are to die, who will die in their sins if we don't tell them about Jesus? That's our call. That's our task. They don't have to die. There is a Savior. There is a doctor. And he can save them from their sins. And let me say it again, those of us that have been set free, we are duty bound to tell other people about it. We're duty bound to be good watchmen on the wall. Father in heaven, we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence. We're thankful, Lord, that you sounded the warning and somebody shared it with us, Lord, and that's why we're here today. Somebody sounded the warning in our lives, and we listened, and we heard, and we believed. And Lord, we have the assurance of eternal life today because somebody cared. It may have been a Sunday school teacher, it may have been a preacher, it may have been a neighbor, it may have been a grandmother or a grandfather somewhere that prayed and prayed for us. It may have been someone that just shared the gospel with us. But Lord, we heard, and we didn't reject it. And we're here because of them. Lord, may we be faithful. May we be faithful watchmen on the wall. May we sound the warning. May we speak the truth. May we do it with love, but may we speak it firmly so that people will hear. And many, many will come to know you. Lord, may it be so. We ask in your name. Amen.